Right.
All right.
Hello, Sheldon.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
All right. Yep.
Moving along here in the Bay Area. You're up in Seattle. Here we are,
That's
Of Course Radio. Is that what we're doing?
Of Course Radio on Saturday, July 9th, 2016, after what I would say pretty crazy several days here. I
Absolutely.
think, yeah, not just in the US, but around the world. I think we're kind of joking, like it's, the heat of summer seems to have caught fire,
Yeah.
around the world. And I think we're definitely going to be spending time today talking about, yeah, the fire that's caught on and the violence, and of course tying all that back to practicing forgiveness and A Course in Miracles.
We're going to do our best to
We will.
navigate the chaos.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusing arguments out there, postings, if you're into that part of the internets, and I think there's tons of emotion around
For
what's
sure.
happening, I think, here in the US and outside the US as well.
For sure. You're definitely seeing a lot of stuff coming up, no doubt about it. So,
But before we get into that, we'll do what we our typical, I guess, show format. Just read some quotes from A Course in Miracles, and then we'll do a guided meditation.
cool.
How's that sound, Sheldon?
Sounds like the same format we've been sticking with.
I think so.
We're going to stick
Unless you
with
want
it.
to change it, which we'll do
No.
maybe.
Well, unless you felt like singing us a song.
No.
Okay. Then
You heard a little bit of that at the beginning. That's
yes,
enough. That little snippet. Yep.
cool. What's your quote, brother?
So my quote is from the text of A Course in Miracles, and it's chapter 23, section 4, and this is paragraph 5. And it's talking about looking down on the battleground. Be lifted up, and from a higher place, look down upon it. From there will your perspective be quite different. Here in the midst of it, it does seem real. Here you have chosen to be part of it. Here murder is your choice. Yet from above, the choice is miracles instead of murder. And the perspective coming from this choice shows you the battle is not real and easily escaped. Bodies may battle, but the clash of forms is meaningless, and it is over when you realize it never was begun. How can a battle be perceived as nothingness when you engage in it? How can the truth of miracles be recognized if murder is your choice?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a doozy.
Yeah, it's definitely making me emotional right now to think
Yeah,
about. Yeah.
it was hitting me too.
Yeah.
I was like, I can feel it. Wow.
Yeah. It's a choice. I understand it's not an easy choice for everybody when you're really immersed in the battle, right?
Right.
Whether that's physical, emotional, real or perceived. This is the choice we all go through every day in our minds.
Okay, so I'll read mine, and it might actually dovetail in pretty good with yours. It's chapter 3, Innocent Perception, and it's section 6, Judgment and the Authority Problem. And it's I'm going to read paragraph 3 and 4, I think. It says, "You have no idea of the tremendous release and deep peace that comes from meeting yourself and your brothers totally without judgment. When you recognize what you are and what your brothers are, you will realize that judging them in any way is without meaning. In fact, their meaning is lost to you precisely because you are judging them. All uncertainty comes from the belief that you are under the coercion of judgment. You do not need judgment to organize your life, and you certainly do not need judgment to organize yourself. In the presence of knowledge, all judgment is automatically suspended, and this is the process that enables recognition to replace perception. You are very fearful of everything you have perceived, but have refused to accept. You believe that because you have refused to accept it, you have lost control over it. This is why you see it in nightmares or in pleasant disguises in what seem to be your happier dreams. Nothing that you have refused to accept can be brought into awareness. It is not dangerous in itself, but you have made it seem dangerous to you. There you go.
Wow. Yep. I'd say they're both related. Of course, yeah. I think everything relates in A Course in Miracles, but
right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a matter of how do you not get caught into it, right? Especially when it's something so deeply triggering for all of us, I think, and so deeply disturbing for all of us. How do you witness, how do you bear witness to that without getting caught up in the desire to attack or the sense of feeling unsafe and wanting to defend, which is also attack, right? So it's pretty deep stuff and pretty potent and pretty difficult, I'd say.
It is.
Pretty challenging.
It is challenging. And yet, at least to me, I've seen demonstrations of just, it's been, I guess what's making me emotional about some of the things that have gone on, like specifically in the case of Philando Castile, which was one of the latest, I guess, reports that have gone out. And since his death, there's actually been several more black men killed by police. But because of the video that went out, you know, his family has been thrust and his girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, has been thrust in the spotlight. And what blew me away, I think it was last night, Mary and I were watching probably CNN and they were interviewing Philando's mother and his two uncles. And they were just some of the most loving people. I think I was blown away by it. I know the gentleman interviewing them just was blown away by how they were handling it and just how much they talked about love, right? Despite what happened, and sending their love to, you know, like the Dallas police officers and their family, like even in the midst of all that, just this, to me, a perfect demonstration of what love can look like despite what happened to their son and their nephew. I mean, it was really beautiful, actually. Again, it's gets me emotional, you know, when I think about that, because that to me is so much more powerful than the videos out there of the violence. It's it's the reaction of love afterwards. That's just right. So amazing to me.
And it's that love that's going to heal, right? Only love heals. Perfect love casteth out all fear.
Right.
And, you know, the challenge of getting and remembering that and being able to connect back to that, accessing that space that's within you in the midst of all of this challenging stuff that's going on, that's so disturbing. Yeah. Should we try to do the little meditation and just sort of center? Do you want to do it?
Yes, I will do it today. I believe it's my turn. I hate to keep putting you on the spot, Sheldon.
You got it, brother.
I'll save you from the violence of having to do a guided meditation in your own mind.
It'll save me from having to face another fear barrier.
Yep. Or having to cut out some swearing words, but
yeah,
we've got plenty of time for that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So for those that are listening, either live or on the recording, just go ahead and if you're in a safe place, go ahead and just get comfortable. For those that might be doing activities or driving, obviously we ask that you do this later. But for those of you that can be in a sitting or even a laying position, whatever's more comfortable for you, go ahead and close your eyes and just take a nice deep breath in and slowly let it out. Take another deep breath in, just breathing in God, breathing in Holy Spirit, and then breathing out and just allowing any tensions or any thoughts just to leave you and to be taken care of by Holy Spirit or God. You don't need to worry about anything in this time. Just go ahead and every time that you breathe in, just breathe in light and God. And when you breathe out, just allow your burdens and your thoughts to be taken away. You don't need them right now. Good. And in this space, just notice around your heart center. It might be a feeling. You may even notice a little bit of a light. It could be a different color light, but for some it might be white, it might be green, blue, red, yellow, whatever it might be. Just notice that it's there. Notice that this is always there for you. And allow it to expand outward, encompassing your entire body. And regardless of whatever color or feeling that may be, just imagine or notice that it changes to just a brilliant white light. And that it extends out even more, you know, 10 to 20 feet outside of your body, just completely encompassing it. And allow yourself to feel completely held and relaxed in this space that's available to you at any time. And now imagine this golden bridge extending into your heart center. This is the bridge of the Comforter, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to enter into this large ball of white light that encompasses you. This is your partner on the journey back to God. And just notice how that feels to allow that presence in. And maybe if you're having difficulty, you might want to say, Holy Spirit, come. Just notice what that looks like, what it feels like. If there's any fear, just hand it over. Allow the Holy Spirit to just absorb that in and heal whatever needs to be healed. And now in this space, in your large bubble of white light, I'd like for you to now allow into this bubble that you have with the Holy Spirit any of the people or maybe images that you've seen over the last week, the last month, the last year or years of the violence that has been perpetrated on this planet. Maybe it has affected you personally, or maybe you've just only been able to witness this from your own home through the computer or through television. So bring in the people that you have been affected by or have affected you in ways of violence into this bubble. And just know that this bubble can expand and grow to be as large as it needs to be. If you feel called, you may just simply envelope the planet. But try to be specific for this exercise. Think of those that may have had violence done to them, those that have violence in their minds, those that have perpetrated violence, those family members that have been affected, even the aspect of you that has been affected by this, that may still be frightened or angry or upset. Include all of that in this bubble. Just take a brief moment and just ensure that any violent, disturbing thoughts, even in your mind, get filled into this bubble. Good. Now, working with the Holy Spirit, allow this bubble to now just drift along this golden bridge. And this bubble, with you in it, and all of these images and people and circumstances, are now floating up to the gates of heaven. These gates are always open, and the Holy Spirit can help guide this large light bubble in onto the altar of God, where you can hand over all of these violent thoughts violent experiences, hatred, and even the love, and just hand it over and allow it to be healed. Allow all the minds and people to be healed. This is a beautiful act of love that you can do at any time. That either you're disturbed or your brothers or sisters appear to be disturbed. And as you're handing over all these images and experiences, feel what that's like to unburden yourself, to unburden the minds of your brothers and sisters, and notice how the altar of heaven just absorbs all of this in, unburdening you so that you should be feeling more relaxed and more peaceful and more loving. Notice if you're still hanging on to anything and just allow yourself to surrender and let that go. Let go of any images of violence or hate. Until you get to a point where you feel more peaceful, you feel more loving. For that is your natural state with God. And your natural state is in heaven with God. And remember this. And enjoy how this feels as you both try to retain this memory of where you're at in heaven and this feeling of support and peace and love as I call you back into your body, into your room, or wherever you may be. And notice your body again by wiggling your toes, moving your fingers and coming back into your body, but still remembering that space that we've journeyed to together. This is always available to you. This is the space to heal and to continue to grow love and extend love. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and join us again.
Ooh, wow. That's kind of out almost barely, like.
So for you, it was a pretty deep experience.
Yeah, super.
Anything Thanks. That you want to share about it, or?
Kind of knocked me out, actually. I was barely, like, I didn't really even follow. Wow, that felt great, though.
So you basically went to sleep for a little bit.
Took a nap. Cut a couple of Z's there. Thanks, brother.
There you go. If any, yeah. I mean, sometimes that happens, right? So it just, you get so relaxed that maybe your body just needs to shut down while it still is going through its experience. That's perfectly fine. Because I know that that happens for some people where they consistently seem to fall asleep, but that's perfectly fine.
Mm. Yeah, I was like right in there on this weird line, but that's cool. Interesting.
In there with a weird line, you said?
You know, right on that edge, just like, I could hear your voice and everything. And it's kind of there, but I wasn't like really conscious enough to really pay attention to what you were saying. It was just like a sound floating through.
Just this annoying sound in the background. Good old Peanuts.
So we want to talk about a kind of looking at sort of how this, you know, how you would look at what's going on from A Course in Miracles perspective.
Yeah, I think, you know, a mix of talking about, specifically what is going on in the world and then, how the Course would see that. And then I also wanted to remind people, if they did want to call in and participate at some point in the show, they can call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And that's only in the live show, obviously. But yeah, if you hear of anything or have any thoughts about it and A Course in Miracles, then please give us a call.
That would be cool. Cool.
So, Sheldon, what are you aware of that's going on in the world in the way of all this heat and violence that's going on?
Well, I wanted to sort of kind of put a framework for how I look at it. When you're doing the Course in Miracles work, if you're going through the lessons and you're looking at your kind of reaction and special relationships and all of that stuff, for me, and everybody approaches the Course differently, right? But my approach has always been that you're always looking at your response, not necessarily about what's happening outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those beliefs being that the outside world, right, is a projection of the subconscious unhealed stuff within your own consciousness, within your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all one mind, but your mind in your world, like in your relationships, your family, your work, is a projection of your unhealed subconscious things. So the things that trigger you are the unhealed things that are there, and they're becoming, that's how you become conscious of what's unhealed in your own personal psyche, right? By what triggers you in your world, in your surroundings. So you're using those trigger, the things that bring you out of peace as an opportunity to look at what's unhealed within your own heart and your own mind. And those are the things that you, so somebody says something to you at work and it's upsetting to you and you're triggered and now you're pissed off. That you're looking at, why am I pissed off? Why can't I respond from a place of love and compassion with my brother, right? So that you're using, rather than attacking and judging your brother for why did you say that, you're looking at, why am I not able to respond? Yeah, you can respond strongly and clearly and still be at peace, right? So it's like, why am I not in peace in this moment? And then looking at that and then releasing that up to the Holy Spirit and radiating light with it and releasing that and letting go of that old wound, because usually there's some kind of wound in there or some kind of something that is unclear. And those are the removing the obstacles to your awareness of love's presence, which is your birthright, which is your true nature and your true state, the divine spark that's within you. So if that divine spark is covered in some sort of soul-based, you know, wound, then it makes it unable, then you're unable to be loving in that scenario. So those scenarios that are happening in your life are happening so that you can discover where those obstacles to your awareness of love's presence are within you. And then you release those. So that's what you're surrendering up to the Holy Spirit. I feel like that happens on an individual level, and it happens within your family structure, within your social structure, your communities, and then on a global, worldwide, on a macroscopic level within. So then you're looking at the deep wounds and the unhealed subconscious stuff on a macro level, macroscopic level for like the entire country. So, and then the entire world as a human race. So you're starting to see all of this stuff. And we talk about the energy of the planet shifting and the vibration of the planets being raised and all these kinds of things that people are talking about, that what's happening is you're seeing in the Course in Miracles, it says you can't keep any hidden corners of your mind, right? That there are no places, you cannot allow any hidden dark secrets and corners in your mind. They need to be, all of those corners are exposed into the light for healing and release, not for further judgment and condemnation, but so that you can release them. And so that's what you're seeing happening on a global scale now. We're seeing the dark hidden corners of the collective unconscious mind of humanity. So like we were talking about earlier, those mass rapes that were happening in India, and you know, just some of the violence that you see all over, and now here in America, racial violence happening, right? And violence between authority figures and citizens. So I think that all of that is releasing and making conscious some of it's not even subconscious, but there's deep subconscious wounds and dark corners of the American psyche that need to be looked at, not for further judgment and condemnation, but for release, healing, and love. And then the whole community can heal. The trick is that, you know, people need to be aware of that process, or enough people need to be aware of it so that we all are working on it. You're always working on it on your own personal level. And that's the key.
Yeah, those are great points. And thanks for setting the framework, because I think that's really important, because I think whether the topic is about, you know, physical violence or just emotional turmoil, you know, the course's answer is all the same. Like you said, that at some level we've made some stuff up in our mind and have separated from God. And so all these projections that we see have the same answer applied to it. You practice forgiveness by healing in your mind what you're mm-hmm. seeing and rising above the battlefield, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is obviously can be easy to get sucked into each one of our individual battles, you know, that, like you had said before, Sheldon, that could be a special relationship, you know, like arguments with your partner or loved one, all the way to the extremes, which is the actual, you know, violence and terrorism that's being acted out on a physical level. Mm-hmm. But it's all just the ego playing out its different ways to trick you into thinking that you're a body and all of this is real and you better react to all this and you better be strong, you mm-hmm. better defend yourself, or you better be proactive and go out and get rid of all these other people that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Course teaches. The Course teaches, hey, you made all this up when you decided to split with God, and the only answer out of this is to love God with all your heart, but to also forgive all of your brothers and sisters, and not to forgive in the biblical sense of you did something wrong, but I forgive you because I want to go to heaven. It's literally forgiveness is recognizing this is an illusion mm-hmm. and recognizing that you want to heal the illusion because you want to experience love and you want all your brothers and sisters to experience love,
mm-hmm.
which is their natural state.
And I think that even, you know, in a kind of more, if recognizing that it's an illusion is difficult for people. And I think for some people are never, you know, it's like, oh, is it really unreal or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it's a separation, it's an illusion, but this is real. And, you know, people get into that and it can become a little bit of a mind warp. And I think you can get stuck in just that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that recognizing the sameness in that whole, you know, all expressions are either an expression of love or an expression of fear. I like to keep it really simple like that, is you're seeing either an expression of love or an expression of fear. And it's pretty clear that there is all kinds of fear that's going on pervading the psyche of much of our culture, right? And fear of terrorism, fear of somebody else. Oh, don't let them in. I'm afraid, you know, da, 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 da. Oh, you know, don't let them have a job, you know, because I might lose mine. There's so much fear-based responsing going on, right? But when somebody's in fear, the appropriate response, when you recognize that it's coming from fear, is compassionate love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not further judgment and condemnation and attack. Like, that just makes it worse, right? So, and mm-hmm. that just puts you in a place of fear. Now you're responding from a fear base. So, and if you are feeling that fear, then why are you feeling that fear? And that's what you're looking at, is why am I feeling fearful right now? Why am I wanting to attack? Why do I feel unsafe? And the identification with the body, the identification and the ability to kind of take a moment in mindful practice and awareness and to look inside your own heart and release whatever blocks are there. You know, the Course says that the divine spark is unaltered, perfectly pure and innocent, whole, completely connected in one, and nothing in this dimension of experience alters that. So the release of all of the things that we attach ourselves to, right, that we are perceiving as altering our innocence and then attacking. So that's why it's always seek first the kingdom within. You have to take that moment to release within. And then if you're seeing your brother from a place of compassion because you've done that and you see that they're just in fear, the natural response is compassionate love. But if you are responding from fear yourself, it's like throwing fire on the fuel, on the gasoline on the fire. You're just making the whole thing worse. So all of us individually and collectively, like you were saying, is so beautiful, even in the midst of the pain of their loss, that the family of the gentleman, blanking on his name, right? His family was still able to remember love. And I didn't hear what they were saying, but it sounds like they were making references to love, even in their space of pain. And that's what we all need to be able to do. So what a beautiful example, you know?
Yeah. To me, it was, yeah. to me, they were demonstrating the truer form of forgiveness. Because what was interesting mm-hmm. was in the same that same conversation, and I completely understand this, Philando's mother basically said, I cannot, you know, forgive this police officer that shot my son, you know, and I think that was the other form of forgiveness that we're talking about, sort of like, you did something wrong and I'm going to forgive you. Whereas true forgiveness is basically, I just love you because you're just a brother or sister in spirit with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to see both of those displayed at the same time, mm-hmm. right? Which is why I think the course is just the message is repeated over and over and over again, because it's so easy to be kind of on that straight path to God and then, oops, you get a little off track. And then the Holy Spirit's always there to help to try to guide you back to that, because it's so easy, I think, to distort, you know, really what's needed to heal your mind and the minds around you. And I think, unfortunately, you know, I'm just going to say this, you know, I think the way that the Bible has been written, and if everyone takes it word for word as the word of God, I think that might be a mistake, that I would ask that people kind of re-examine the Bible, reconsider that it was written by men, and, you know, whether or not some of it was direct contact from God. I'll be honest, I don't know that. But when I read portions of the Bible, I can't understand or agree that that would be God's will, especially mm-hmm. the angry, jealous God that doesn't mm-hmm. fit how I feel God really is, which is basically love and peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, because of things like the Bible, it's confused the hell out of everybody mm-hmm. And other religious, I guess, scriptures. It's maybe not done the best service to the world, but I do feel that there's a lot of people that know the difference between love and violence and right and wrong at the bigger sense, kind of like the non-dualistic sense, but it can be tough.
And I think that's like I was saying, keeping it simple, right? It's mm-hmm. keeping it into love and loving yourself first too. So if you are feeling unsafe, if you are feeling angry, if you're feeling sad, you know what I mean? Allowing and loving those feelings and embracing those feelings and not yep. repressing them and not saying, oh, I'm a spiritual person, I should forgive, you know, or whatever yeah. those kinds of things are, that feeling grief and despair and anger is natural, and yep. and loving yourself enough to allow that to come up in whatever form it comes up for you, right?
Yeah.
And that is a purification and a healing process in and of itself. Like, so much of our emotional state is repressed, and especially in this country, right? That we don't allow ourselves to express things. And then what happens is people get on spiritual paths and then they use that as another excuse to repress things. Like, oh, somehow that's less holy, you know, to be angry or to be grieving and, you know, feeling despair. And those are all parts of, to me, that's just the energy is coming up. You know, those things need to be released and allowed to be expressed. There's a, you know, some of the stronger emotional energies obviously do have there's a difference between feeling and the emotion, right? Allowing the feeling of it without getting too caught up into the emotion of it, which might bring up, you know, we need to go do something, let's go attack mm-hmm. and kill police officers. You know what I mean? So when you get hooked into the emotional aspect of a thought process and you're hooked into it, then you're going with it versus just allowing it to come up and release through you and expressed in its fullness and then released out. So I think that's the razor's edge that sometimes gets tricky to walk. And that's why calling in the Holy Spirit and allowing, and it doesn't even matter how you call it in, Holy Spirit, but releasing to, in 12 steps, it always talks about, you know, higher power, right? However you want to refer to that, to me doesn't really matter. But just releasing up to, I'm not the doer and the maker, I'm not in control, and releasing that sense of desire to control situations and just surrendering that's where the peace comes in, that's where the release of all the fear stuff comes in, and then from that point inspired response that is loving will manifest.
Yeah, great points. And I wanted to go back and touch on something that you had mentioned just earlier, which was, you know, trying to simplify all this, because obviously A Course in Miracles, just like the Bible, is this very thick, voluminous set of words. But I think, you know, looking back on like Jesus, I mean, he was blasphemous and brilliant in my mind, you know, especially for his time, because like, especially when he was asked, you know, do you uphold the Ten Commandments, or how would you have us uphold the Ten Commandments? He basically totally changed it and simplified it, because I think he knew how corrupted and distorted the interpretation of the Ten Commandments, or how confining they were in the time of the Jews at that time. And so he had basically said, hey, here's a couple different ones for you to live by. It's pretty simple. You love God with all of your heart, and then you love your neighbor or your brother or sister, you know, as yourself.
Wow.
That's pretty simplified, and it fits into all the forgiveness stuff that he probably taught and what's in A Course in Miracles. I mean, it really boils it down.
And when mentor, the Bishop Michael, when he talks about, you know, commandments and the Old Testament, you know, there's a lot of structure around nomadic tribes having to build harsh rules and conduct in order to maintain a structure within basically these nomadic tribes. But when you get in, with anything, even with the Course in Miracles, if you start to follow it from a dogmatic kind of perspective, then it just becomes these empty rules. And if you don't have the love, then the rules or the guidelines don't mean anything anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, without the love, if you forget that, you missed. And so that whole thing, which is you missed, meaning you sinned and try again, right? And that the original meaning of the word sin is I missed the mark. So it's just like you missed, and it's no big deal, but you know, you get to try again. But it's always about remembering your true nature, which is unconditionally loving. And and so he was rebelling against these structures that no longer meant anything. They were just structure for the sake of structure. And the source of, you know, loving compassion that might have been the root of some of those things at one point is gone. And it at that point, then the structure needs to dissolve. If it's no longer suiting a function of love, then it's – and if it never did, then obviously what's the point of it?
Right. And I think that's what makes it tough, like in today's times, which is why I think there is so much violence, because everyone's also trying to protect their belief systems and what they hold on to as the truth, which, again, I have to say is sad, because a lot of the truth has been distorted. I mean, I grew up, I was raised Catholic, and I always rebelled against a lot of it. To the point when I got to college, I just completely went away from it, because there were several things that bothered me, in a lot of Catholicism or Christianity, you know, the belief that Jesus was the only Son of God. I think that message got distorted. You know, I think he said that there is one Son of God, but that we were all part of that. But that message got distorted. And I think it makes it easier for people to justify, like, well, that was Jesus. I can't be like Jesus, because there's never going to be anything like Jesus, but I can try to be like him. And then I get to do this confession thing that absolves all of my sins, right? So there's this whole construct set up that just keeps you stuck, in my opinion, versus, you know, having something like A Course in Miracles come out to say, no, wait a second, every one of your brothers and sisters is the Holy Son, a child of God, a Son of God. And until you recognize that, you yourself will not be whole.
And perfectly equal and perfectly the same.
Exactly. Whole, loved, and in heaven with God. No ifs, ands, or buts. That is the truth. And yet we have these religious systems. We have these documents out there that have people still believing in it's okay to look at separation and condone it. And even violence. Like, I'm so tired of hearing eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Oh, my God. it's false. Mm-hmm. It's false.
I think there's a sentence after that that says that you basically should never do that.
Yeah.
I think there is, actually. I forget. Somebody read it to me once. It's like the very next sentence says that you don't want to ever do that or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny. I mean, like we were talking before the show, just how much even like the Bible or in the case of Americans, like the Constitution gets distorted over time. Like people thinking that having weapons is a God-given right. I'll be honest. I don't understand where people get that from. Mm-hmm. I've read some of the documentation. I understand how they can interpret it that way. To be honest, I can understand that, but it makes no sense to me personally. If God is love, why would God want people to have guns to even defend themselves?
Mm-hmm.
If you're all coming from a loving state, or at least practicing forgiveness, so that if a weapon's drawn on you, you're responding with love rather than fear or anger, right? I mean, that's what the Course is teaching. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what it's teaching.
I think it says, in my defenselessness is my safety.
Yes.
It's one of the lessons. And I we've talked about this before in the show. I that was one of the hardest ones for me. You know, having been in the Navy, you know, feeling like there's been a bunch of lifetimes as a warrior of the various forms, the idea of laying down your guard mm-hmm. as a way to find safety just was like throwing a wrench in my brain. Like, are you kidding me? Martial arts, all these things that I've done my whole life, right? You know, it's just like you do, that's the last thing. And yet that's where it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're all trained.
That is where the safety is in the absolute openness of the heart. Absolute connection, absolute radiance of love and light. That and when I was doing the lessons, that was the first thing that came across for me. When you were still here in the very early stages, was I remember having that experience of feeling completely safe. And it was a weird word for me because I didn't even know I don't even know if I'd come to that lesson yet where it says in my defenses, my safety lies. It might have been, but I just remember going, wow, I would read the lesson and I would feel this wave of energy come over me and it made me feel safe. And I was like, mm-hmm. How would you behave if you felt profoundly safe? Like nothing that occurred could affect you. And you mm-hmm. knew it and you came from that place, how would you behave?
Yep.
You know, if you were profoundly safe, like nothing that happened could possibly alter or harm you in any way, how would you behave? And you would behave gently, I think.
Yeah.
Gently and lovingly, because so much of everything that is harsh and hard and aggressive comes from fear and a lack of feeling safe. And that's my experience of working with the Course, is that you start to feel more and more safe, which allows you to stay open. The heart space is completely open, or more open than it was before, and continues to open even wider always. And that allows other people to open theirs.
Yeah, it's obviously it is a process for each person.
For sure.
Each person will find their own blind spots and trigger points. But I think it does get back to, especially when it comes to violence, how much at least we're educated that that's how you solve your problems, or that you especially don't want to appear weak in our society mm-hmm. because it's so harsh, right? I mean, I was always a small kid, small guy.
Me too.
And always being reminded, you know, you better stick up for yourself. You better not show people that you're weak.
Don't let anybody get anything over on you.
Yeah. And I've been called, you know, a pussy many times in my life because I do choose to not fight. Mm-hmm. Not saying I haven't been in any fights, but they didn't last very long for different reasons, but I just, in my mind, it just never made sense.
Right.
But I've been thoroughly upset by not fitting, you know, the constructs that our society wants. I'm not the big macho guy, right? And there's mm-hmm. been moments where I've really felt like crap because I don't fit the Hollywood stereotype of, you know, someone makes fun of like my sister or girlfriend and I'm not out there kicking their butts, right? And that's what you're supposed to do. Or especially, I think, if you're in certain neighborhoods and in the world that have tough neighborhoods, I mean, that's the first rule. You don't show any sign of weakness.
Right.
So if someone looks at you weird, you're supposed to go and attack them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my college friends, this was a predominantly white, way out there in the woods, Pennsylvania area. And they were always beating each other up. Just because, oh, that guy looked at me weird. Now I got to show him that he can't do that to me and I'm not going to show him any weakness. So I'm going to go over there. We need to go over there and beat them all up. Like, what? It's insane. I mean, I remember being pretty scared because I was visiting for like a day or two. Oh, see those guys? We used to get in fights with them all the time in high school. They just looked at us. Are you ready? Are you ready to back us up? We're going to go over there and beat them all up. I was like, what? I don't even know these people. Like,
wow.
Why would you think that this is acceptable? Like, I mean, and something happened where we didn't end up fighting, but I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
Wow.
This was before my whole spiritual awakening. But I just remember even back then going, I don't understand. I don't understand this mentality. But this is what's been perpetuated. And it takes a strong man or woman to want to follow the path of peace. Mm-hmm. And spirituality and something like A Course in Miracles. And I think there are a lot of people out there that want that path and are demonstrating it, but they're just not being portrayed in the media very often. Mm-hmm. Except again, like the Castile family, it was just beautiful the way they demonstrated it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And it, you saw, I posted that video about Snoop Dogg and that other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one?
I did, yeah.
And they were talking about love, you know, love and understanding and connection, and let's create a dialogue and let's talk to the LAPD. And, you know, so they, there was a bunch of people that basically went and attended the police academy graduation, I think is what that was.
Mm-hmm.
They were there to just say, hey, we're here, we're people, let's talk, and you kind of create a connection.
Yeah.
Remembrance that we're all brothers and sisters and that we're all, you know.
Yeah, people. Which is significant because I think those guys came from a pretty violent background.
Right.
And I think glamorized, you know, violence, at least mm-hmm. in their songs and, mm-hmm. and possibly their lifestyle. But to see that change is beautiful.
Right.
Especially if it really is heartfelt. And
it seemed like it from the clip, you know. And, you know, you're like, wow. So those shifts are happening.
It is. And at the same time,
And when you go through it's like when you start the course, when you start doing the lessons, all your shit comes up. Oops, there we go. All your stuff comes up. When you start working at looking at your own dark hidden corners of your mind, your stuff comes up. And like it or not, that's what's happening on the planet. The stuff is coming up. But in that radiance of light, in that increase in vibration, there are people that are feeling that awakening of their heart and are responding from that heart space. So.
Yep. And whether people are connected directly to the Holy Spirit or not, I think there's going to be plenty of guidance in that area. Because I know, you know, on the flip side of the Snoop Dogg thing you posted, you know, I know that there's leaders within the gangs, like the Bloods and the Crips, that are sending messages out that, they, you know, to get together and go attack, right?
Oh.
And it's going to take some strong leadership within those groups, you know, some strong heart-centered men and women that will have to say no.
Right.
And that's going to be part of their forgiveness journey to help break or end that cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And again, A Course in Miracles is one path, I think, to having full knowledge of God again. But to me, it seems like it makes a whole lot of sense to me. And it also seems like it can save a whole lot of time versus having to come back and do this over and over again in different bodies.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that, you know, it's a pretty heavy topic, but again, ultimately, all of this can be used to either get sucked back into the violence and the misery, or it can be used, again, to return your mind back to God and also to see your, to rise above the battleground and see your brothers and sisters with love and knowing that they're equal children of God with you. And that can be the beautiful outcome of this.
Absolutely. It's like part of a purification process.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah. I think so. Well, I also know that we're getting closer to the top of our hour, and I don't think we're going to get any calls in. So, Sheldon, what's going on your end? Anything you want to let people know about with AUM or Course Group?
The Course Group, if anybody happened to hear this and was interested, you know, Scott, you've been Skyping in, and that's working out all right, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of
great experience, yeah,
cool. Like you can see, and I still maybe want to get a camera or whatever, but we're using a laptop, and you know, you're able to Skype in and participate in our group, which is Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So if anybody hears this and is interested in joining us, you know, email me. You can email us through. Or, of course, radio, or just email me directly at ssj888@gmail.com. And Arts Unity Movement has Newground Theater Dance doing some performances at the end of July. And if you want to go to artsunitymovement.com, that's one word, artsunitymovement.com, and check out our calendar of events. We have a performance called Vibrant Stillness, which is going to be super cool.
Wow.
And it's a multicultural, the Newground Theater Dance was invited to dance with an organization that was called the Shanti Project. And it was an Indian organization that brings out traditional Indian dance forms. And they've traveled and toured all over the country and the world. And every community they go into, they bring a local dance organization, one or two, to dance with them. And so they have an opening and closing piece that's integrated with the local performers. And we got to do that a couple months ago. So Newground was honored to participate in a Shanti Project. And they loved, everybody got along and kind of connected so well that they, some of those dancers are now dancing with Newground at NDNU at the end of July. So you want to check out details on that. It's called Vibrant Stillness. And there's, I think, four or five different Indian dance or groups that are going to be participating in that dance performance. So it's going to be really cool. Beautiful, multicultural, unifying, healing balm for the world in the midst of all of this.
And what website can they check that out at?
It's all on artsunitymovement.com. If you go to the events page, you'll see it. If you go to the schedule, you see the calendar dates. It's all on either the events page or the calendar.
Okay, great.
And how about yourself?
Well, I just want to remind folks, if they want to just send us a message with any questions or any even show topics, they can reach us at info@ofcourseradio.com. And that's our website, ofcourseradio.com, or you can check us out on the bbsradio.com website /ofcourseradio. And then just as a reminder, the book that I wrote last year on applying A Course in Miracles in your job, your day job or corporate job, is Forgiveness, Inc. And you can learn more about that book at forgivenessinc.com.
Awesome, awesome.
Yep. And I'm over halfway done writing the novel about Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and it's called Masters of Love. So I'm hoping sometime next year it'll be out.
That's awesome, brother. That is awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Lots of stuff going on, as always. And I think that wraps it up for us. So I just wanted to say I love you very much, brother.
Love you too, Scott.
And to all, anyone that's listening or may be listening in the future, and to all of the people of the world and the planet, we love you and we wish peace and love.
Absolutely. what the world needs now is love, sweet
love. It's love, sweet love. I was just thinking that. Wow. Thanks, Juan. All right, brother.
All right. Take care.
Okay, you too. Love you too.